listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois, and welcome to our show today on a bright, sunny morning here in Chicago that is not very bright nor very sunny. It's a little overcast out there, a nice rainy morning here this morning. It's 9 o'clock in Chicago, and thanks for joining our show today. We do this about once a month, and we're privileged this morning to continue, in a way, in some ways, a conversation that we were having on last month's show. Many listeners may remember that last month's show dealt with the House Bill 2354, and it was a question of religious liberties, and it was an attack on religious liberties, and we had a quite engaged show last month. Many callers called in to express their concerns about tax on Healthcare Right of Conscience Act and some of the provisions in that bill, House Bill 2354. And I'm very, very grateful to report that that bill looks like it's been defeated. And we will now go back to Springfield this week, and hopefully for the second half of the legislative session, we'll be dealing with some other issues on the Catholic Conference agenda. And it was interesting to note when we were apprised of the defeat of House Bill 2354, the attack on Healthcare Right of Conscience, the good news is that it looks like that bill wouldn't be advancing anymore, because the deadline to advance bills was on Friday, April 4th. There was a two-week recess that's concluding this week, and we'll be going back, as I said earlier, we'll be going back this week for the second half of the legislative session. But one of the bills that the deadline was extended on was House Bill 2234, and I think we can also draw some parallels to the experience we had with 2354, and the parallel is this. It's some people could argue that it's another attack on religious liberty, and specifically it has to do with the question of civil unions and same-sex marriages and what it all means in the state of Illinois. We are real lucky this morning to be joined by two guests. We're going to have a bit of a discussion this morning about what went on in the state of Iowa. Many people have read recently that the state of Iowa, now you can have a same-sex marriage performed. And we're going to be joined by – we are being joined by Tom Chapman, my colleague, the executive director of the Catholic Conference there. And also on the line with us is Jim Campbell. And Jim is the litigation counsel for the Alliance Defense Fund, and he'll be able to provide for us a bit of perspective of what's going on throughout the country as it relates to the question of same-sex marriage and civil unions. And we're going to have a call-in show here this morning for the next hour here in Chicago, and the number is 312-255-8408. So maybe to open up our conversation this morning, let's bring Tom in, and I know Jim's on the line as well. Tom, are you with us?
I am.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Bob?
We are fine. Tom, you now have the trophy in terms of the Catholic Conference Director who has appeared on this program the most frequent. You have two, and some of your colleagues only have one, so congratulations on that.
Well, I'm sorry to hear it, but here we are.
Tom, welcome to our show this morning. And we want to start this conversation, and I think it's interesting, if you heard my introduction, that what's gone on in Illinois is we have legislation pending. It's on civil unions, which is not quite same-sex marriage, but it's probably on the path to same-sex marriage. And, Tom, I know in your state, one of the reasons we think the deadline was extended in Illinois is because of what happened in Iowa. Why don't you give us a little bit of a thumbnail sketch now where you guys are with the question of marriage, I suppose, is probably
sure.
A way of putting it.
Sure. Well, Iowa had a law that defined marriage as being between one man and one woman. That was passed in about 1998. And then a few years ago, that law was challenged in the Polk County District Court. That's where Des Moines is.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple years ago, the district court struck down the law and then issued a stay on the ruling. So basically, he said because of equal protection, it should be that all people are able to get married. And so, we had same-sex marriage for about 6 hours until he issued a stay on his own ruling. Then it was kicked up to the Iowa Supreme Court, and then on Friday, April 3rd, they issued a ruling that struck down the law. And so that's where we are today. Starting next Monday, they're going to be able to file for same-sex marriage licenses here in Iowa. So that kind of created a firestorm, as you might imagine.
Sure. We've been reading about it here, and obviously Iowa being Illinois' neighbor, what goes on over across the border, across the Mississippi, does affect us here to some degree anyway. So Tom, I think the upshot of your message is that it seems like it happened through the courts.
It certainly happened through the courts. I mean, they could not in any way get it through the legislature. Now, if you were talking about a civil union bill or some reciprocal benefits or something, then I think we probably would have had a good fight about that. But this was done simply in the Supreme Court. It was a unanimous decision. And so, you know, there you have it. And one of the difficulties with that, I think, that we're finding is that people just feel disenfranchised by the whole thing. I mean, they have no argument to go with to the legislature other than to have a marriage amendment, which is a very difficult process in Iowa. And the legislative leadership liked the ruling, and so they've locked that down pretty tight.
So I guess for anybody listening to our program today, in looking at the glass half full, we could say, at least in Illinois, that we are not disenfranchised, that we do have a chance to weigh in and let people know, let state elected officials know our position on the same-sex marriage / civil unions question. So in that regard, I think Illinois, we're okay. And that was the purpose of today's show, is to make people aware of what's going on in Illinois with regard to House Bill 2234 and urging people to get engaged in the political process and contact their state representatives to urge them to vote no on this very critical piece of legislation that's pending. Let me bring in Jim Campbell from the Alliance Defense Fund. Jim, who's the litigation counsel for that group. Jim, are you on the line with us?
I am.
Welcome to our program this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, Bob. It's good to be here.
And Jim, I understand you're in sunny Phoenix, Arizona. Is that the case?
That is the case, and you are absolutely correct. It is sunny.
It is sunny, and
it is warm.
I can guarantee you, Tom and I are both jealous, but as I said to somebody the other day, maybe you guys can send some of that warm air our way. It's supposed to snow later on today, I think.
Oh, wow. Well, we could spare some of it.
Good. Jim, does this conversation ring a bell with you at all in terms of what's going on in Iowa with regard to same-sex marriage being put upon the citizens of Iowa in the courts? And give us your view from what's going on through. Maybe we should back up a little bit and explain to some of the listeners your organization, what is that you do with this critical area?
Sure. The Alliance Defense Fund, we are a religious liberty legal organization. We engage not only in litigation but also in training. And we have an army, I would say, of about 1,200 allied attorneys around the country who offer pro bono legal assistance to our organization. And our on-staff attorney, as well as those 1,200 attorneys that have partnered with us around the country, we battle in three major issue areas. We battle in the sanctity of life. We help to defend marriage and traditional family values, and then we also help to defend religious liberty. So one of our major areas being the family and marriage, we are often involved in these legal battles involving marriage, and Iowa was no exception. We were involved in that case, submitted an amicus brief, and we were disappointed to see that the Iowa court in that case foisted same-sex marriage upon the people without them having a say in the matter. And we are hopeful, as was discussed a little bit earlier, that the Iowa marriage amendment process might be stimulated a little bit by this ruling, and maybe the people will start to push back for their own will, which we have seen that the people in Iowa believe that marriage is the union of one man and one woman. So we're hopeful that this will stimulate some action in Iowa, and we're also hopeful that this will stimulate the people in Illinois to battle for their rights.
I should add that I was introduced to Jim's organization when we testified on House Bill 2234 in Springfield. The bill was heard before the Family and Children Committee. Gosh, I'm drawing a blank on all these. They have so many committees in Springfield right now. It was heard in the House Family and Children Committee back in March, and the Catholic Conference testified. I testified. And if anybody wants to see a copy of our remarks, it's up on our website, the position that we took in opposition to the bill. And the website is www.catholicconferenceofillinois.org. My point is I was fortunate enough to be introduced to the ADF, and they testified as well. You had an attorney that came out to Springfield, Austin Nimix, who provided some very compelling testimony on reasons that members of the General Assembly should not support House Bill 2234. We're going to take a quick break here. It's 10 after the hour. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We're talking this morning about a very important subject. It's about what should be the nature of marriage in our civil law. As Catholics, we approach this in a different manner, but our civil society now is contemplating ways to change marriage in such to fit it to a definition that's really never historically been known in civil law. So we're here on a compelling subject. It's Bob Gilligan talking with the Catholic Conference of Illinois. I'm on the phone this morning with Tom Chapman from the state of Iowa, as well as Jim Campbell from the Alliance Defense Fund. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We want to hear your calls at 312-255-8408. We'll be right back.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze that lasted forever, a great kiss. Those things are really important.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
What have I done for my marriage today?
We've actually organized a date night tonight.
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah.
Today, I sent an email to my husband, and I said, you rock.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today. She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We're talking today about the institution of marriage and our civil laws and what they should reflect or what they should not reflect. The number to call in if you want to weigh in on our conversation is 312-255-8408. And we're talking with Tom Chapman of the Iowa Catholic Conference and Jim Campbell of the Alliance Defense Fund. Gentlemen, both of you have faced this issue, and Jim, you probably have a broader perspective than Tom or myself. In Illinois, we have a group called Equality Illinois, and they are fairly well – I would say they're a well-funded organization, and they've been going around to different legislative offices and making the pitch on civil unions. My introduction to them has been through legislation that prohibited discrimination on homosexual persons. And that battle in Illinois went on for years, and finally they prevailed, and now there's laws in Illinois that prevent discrimination on homosexual persons. Now it looks like we're talking about civil unions. To Tom and Jim both, what have your experience been with regard to how have our the opponents to traditional marriage been infiltrating the states? It seems like it's going on throughout the entire country.
I guess if Tom, I will jump in here. This is Jim Campbell. We have seen these organizations exist in most every state. I don't know of a state in which they don't exist. And the thing that we've seen from them is they are very active, mm-hmm. and they are willing to contact their representatives. They are willing to get involved. And unfortunately, a lot of times we see that Catholics and other Protestants around the country aren't as willing to step in and really make their will known to their legislative representatives. So we have seen these organizations, and we encourage Catholics around the country to get involved just as these individuals are mm-hmm. in pushing for the legislation they support.
Tom, has that been your experience?
Yeah, I think Jim makes an important point. We have a similar organization in Iowa that's called One Iowa. And they've been here for years with it's an excellent plan in terms of having the discrimination law first and
yep.
and seeing where the right courts are and kind of bringing this thing along. And they're totally focused on that issue and having pastors and all kinds of folks coming up to the legislature regularly. And we've done some things with our grassroots over the last couple of years since the district court decision. But quite honestly, the issue is we've got more than one issue to deal with, you know, as a Catholic conference,
yeah.
and I know you do too.
Sure.
But they are laser focused on this issue, you know,
yeah.
and we're fighting with one arm tied behind our back. And so I think with people who are interested in the issue, they need to make sure that they contact their legislator now and let them know. Because, I mean, even like the day after the decision, you know, sometimes it's hard to see. Certainly there's been discrimination against gay people, but if you look at it, you know, as a class, I mean, they had robocalls going the next day after the decision saying, don't do anything about a marriage amendment, you know.
Isn't that amazing?
You're just standing in the face of that. It is amazing, and there's a lot of money behind it.
Yeah. 312-255-8408 if you want to join our conversation today about the question of marriage and what's going on throughout the country as well as in Illinois. You know, you guys bring up a good point. And I think one of the hard parts for us at the Catholic Conference, and I'm sure it is throughout the country as well, is they have done the opponents to our position in this issue, and I hate even phrasing it the way in proponent, opponent, but the proponents for same-sex marriage have done a very good job of putting us on the defensive. And it seems like we are the elements of the debate that we have to defend almost come across sometimes as being anti-gay, anti-homosexual, and we're kind of walking a fine line in the Catholic community, and I wonder how much that prevents us from really making our case clearly. And I think the other aspect of this debate that's frustrating is, you know, quite honestly, sometimes when I take a step back and I look at the institution of marriage and I look at the number of children born out of wedlock and really the institution of marriage as it is today, unfortunately, gentlemen, heterosexuals have not done a very good job of, you know, holding, if you will, I hate to put it this way, but our end of the bargain mm-hmm. up. Are we just sliding down a slide here we can't recover from?
Well, the difficulty in arguing our position is, in terms of a marriage amendment, in one sense, is that you're talking about bad effects that we feel will happen in the future.
Right.
And so we're trying to say, well, we have a crystal ball, and here's what we think is going to happen in the future, whereas the other argument is very compelling about today and equality and things like that, you know. But, I think we need to keep trying to teach on this part that, particularly from our Catholic perspective, that, you know, it does matter to have a mom and a dad in the home. It does matter the biology that there's a man and woman involved. And the law is a teacher. And now the law teaches it's not critical to have that, you know. And we do have a concern that there's going to be, you know, mom and dads get stigmatized in terms of having that. We know what the public schools are going to teach, and they have to do that under the law. So I think it's just going to be difficult. But we're talking about future events versus what's going on today.
Mm-hmm. The bill number in Illinois is House Bill 2234, and it's regarding civil unions. And the concern that – one of the many concerns that we have is if you look at the language, it is almost the same as what the state of Connecticut had passed when it did so a couple years ago. And for any listeners out there, they should know that Connecticut now does have same-sex marriages. And Jim, is this what you see in terms of the page out of their playbook, is you get civil unions and then you tee it up for the courts to enact same-sex marriage?
Absolutely. A lot of times you will see organizations like Equality Illinois pitch civil unions as a compromise, but that is not the case. And we see in their strategy that they've repeatedly used across the country that civil unions are a mere step towards the ultimate goal of same-sex marriage. And as you mentioned, we saw it in Connecticut, where they passed civil unions, and then they filed a lawsuit, in essence saying civil unions aren't good enough. That is still
right.
Violates equal protection, and the court found in favor of that argument, and therefore they were able to judicially impose same-sex marriage in Connecticut. And I would imagine that a similar strategy is in place in Illinois. So I would encourage your listeners not to believe that civil unions are the end of the road, or that this is a compromise that Equality Illinois and other like-minded organizations are going to be satisfied with.
And it was the same argument they used with the bill about prohibiting discrimination against homosexual persons. They made that point over and over again. This is not civil unions. This is not same-sex marriage. And clearly the strategy to me is abundantly clear. I hope it is to others. And that's why we want to try to shed as much light and attention on this issue as we possibly can. We're talking about the question of marriage. What should it be? What shouldn't it be? Civil unions and how that plays into the question of same-sex marriage, not only in Illinois, but in Iowa as well. We're also joined by Jim Campbell, who is fortunate enough to be able to talk about what's going on throughout the rest of the country. The number, if you want to join in our conversation, is 312-255-8408. That's 312-255-8408. We'll be right back after this brief message.
This is Cardinal Francis George with a personal invitation to join my internet-based network. Beginning in Holy Week, it will be my pleasure to send you short reflections to help you on your spiritual journey. You can sign up by going to our website at www.archchicago.org. All we need is your email address. That's www.archchicago.org. Thanks for joining the Cardinals Network as we use the internet to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
Catholic Charities is providing community health fairs with free medical services to residents of Chicago and the suburbs. Our next fair is scheduled for Saturday, April 25th at Our Lady of Tepeyac, 2228 South Whipple in Chicago. The health fairs are open to the public and offer various medical screenings, dental exams, immunizations, and general physicals for adults and children. Local social service providers will be in attendance, offering a one-stop shop approach for families in need of assistance. Volunteers are needed to do a variety of tasks at the fairs, including helping to register participants and guide them from station to station. Please call 312-655-7298 for more information. That's 312-655-7298. We hope you take advantage of our Catholic Charities Community Health Fairs.
Welcome back to our program, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. I'm talking with Tom Chapman of the Iowa Catholic Conference and Jim Campbell of the Alliance Defense Fund, talking about same-sex marriage, civil unions, House Bill 2234, which is pending in Springfield. We're asking people to get more engaged in the political process by making phone calls in opposition to this bill so it doesn't move any further in the process. The number is 312-255-8408. And Jim, I guess this question is more directed to you. I am increasingly concerned, and I think this is one of the aspects of this issue that virtually nobody is paying attention to, is that, as I said in the intro of the program, the emerging conflict between same-sex marriage and religious liberty. As a faith community, I don't care if you're a Catholic or Protestant or Jewish, there are certain tenets of your faith that you feel should be protected from civil law. And my sense is with this issue is I don't think people are picking up on this. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Do you agree, disagree, or?
Sure. I absolutely agree with you. This issue is not just about marriage. Religious liberty is also at stake here. We have seen this in many cases we're involved in around the country, examples of Christians being forced to violate their conscience and church teachings because of these laws, these same-sex marriage laws, and these non-discrimination laws that have been enacted. We have seen how these have been used against people of faith, and we have seen how they have, in a sense, compelled people to violate their sincerely held religious beliefs. A quick example of that is is a client of ours we have in New Mexico.
Yeah.
They are a wedding photographer, and they were contacted by a same-sex couple who wanted them to photograph their commitment ceremony. The wedding photographer politely declined because based on her religious belief, she believes that marriage is only the union of a man and a woman. And to make a long story short, a complaint was filed against her in an administrative proceeding was held, and they were found to be in violation of the law there in New Mexico, specifically the non-discrimination law, and fines were imposed against them. So we are currently litigating that case up through the state court system. But the example is the stark reality of what people of faith need to realize is the attendant consequences of same-sex marriage and these non-discrimination laws that they will impose upon people of faith.
You know, when the whole question about Prop 8 was going on in California, Tom, I remember having a conversation with our colleague in California. I think he was on this show doing – we talked about this. And Ned DeLessie is the director of the Catholic Conference in California. It was very – he had an interesting quote, and I've used this in a couple different contexts. He said the problem – one of the problems with same-sex marriage that people don't understand is – if it passes, the Catholic Church and many other faith denominations will be treated in law as an officially discriminatory organization. And, you know, Ned kind of said flippantly, he says, one place you don't want to be in law is an officially recognized discriminatory organization. He says it has impacts that people don't understand. They don't realize. And there are just a number of different ways that I think the code, the laws that are enacted throughout the state legislatures define things in such a way that it's almost endless. When you start changing the definition of words such as marriage, spouse, a number of other words, it has so many ramifications that I don't think we even are beginning to understand what those all could be. And I think, Tom, you made the case earlier is our arguments on this piece of legislation are speculative and prospective on what could happen, what will happen, whereas the other side has done a very good job of framing it in terms of this is a civil rights issue.
Exactly. And this is one of the things that I've talked to legislators about, you know, over the past few weeks, and I've talked to a lot of the legislators. And I make this point, especially with the Catholic ones, is that, you know, okay, this is where you're at on this issue. You don't want to buck the party or the leadership, but, you know, just stand ready to help us out when we come up with our First Amendment issue on this.
Right.
I think clearly it's coming. There's hundreds of references in the code to marriage. There's a lot of, relationships between the state and the church in schools, you know, school issues. Iowa, all of Iowa's Catholic schools are accredited by the state. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can see coming down the road. And I'm trying to make that crystal clear right now is that we know some of these conflicts are coming and we're going to be coming back and we're going to assert our First Amendment rights. And that should go for people, too. But I definitely think that's coming.
Healthcare, social services, education, all the different aspects of the church's ministries all intersect with the public square, and how changing marriage and all these things will affect that, I think, is an unknown question. It's a good point. The number is 312-255-8408. I think we have a caller on the line. Is it Edith? Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Welcome.
I've only been listening the last 10 minutes, so maybe somebody's already mentioned this. But
it was the best 10 minutes, Edith. No.
Okay. I wonder why nobody talks about AIDS these days. Mm. It's like that's a forbidden subject. Mm. And unfortunately, I have a relative who he had been married for quite a few years. He had six children, and suddenly he's homosexual. You know, I mean, it's just weird. And I really worry about his health in certain respects. And, of course, it's done terrible damage to his six children as far as family relationships. I mean, I don't know why we're so afraid to mention the bad aspects, the solid things. And we all know that throughout history, homosexuality was always present when a nation fell. And yet it's like we're afraid to say any of those things. And that more or less is my comment.
Mm-hmm. I'll make a comment and I'll turn over to Jim and Tom. I think you raised a couple interesting points. I think in the public square where we are so engaged, it's I think our best arguments are positive arguments about traditional marriage and the benefits it brings to civil society. I think we're best when we're talking about in those in that context. I think what you're talking about, though, is also something that it's a very difficult message to get out, and it depends on who's saying it. I think the problem we have in the mainstream media is getting our word out in such a way that it's not looked upon as being distorted. And the mainstream media today, it's a tough sell trying to get those sort of messages out. But I think you bring up an interesting point, which is if you look at the demographics and the statistics, you know, engaging in homosexual behavior is riskier than not doing it. But I'll leave it at that. Jim, Tom, do you want to make a comment at all? You guys are jumping right in on this one, huh?
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting.
Okay, go ahead, Tom.
I was just going to say, even at the international level, you know, we saw Pope Benedict's comments a few weeks ago mm-hmm. about condoms, and then the Harvard
right.
There was a big firestorm, and then the Harvard researcher says, well, actually, he's right. You know, but people just don't want to hear it. Even Catholic people, they never get the second part of the equation where he's actually making a true point. You know?
Good point, yeah. Yeah. Jim?
Bob, I would just echo one point you made, and that is we like to try to phrase this as the positives of marriage and the benefits it has to civil society. And I think not only does that have positive social ramifications, but I think that that's a great message for Catholic organizations to preach because it's in line with the gospel and it's in line with the message of the scripture, which is, you know, this is the design that God has put in place for the family and for marriage. And I think anytime we can echo that, it only helps further spreading the truth throughout our society. But I would also say that by recognizing that these health ramifications have been really largely swept away and nobody's talking about them, it really just highlights the fact that our opposition in this battle has really done a good job of framing the issues the way they want to, and has really done a great job of, I would say, concealing the realities of homosexual behavior, and I think that's something that has bodes well for them in this battle.
It's true. I wish I had a better memory than I do, but I was reading the other day some of the demographics and statistics about you know, homosexual behavior. It's alarming. It really is, and it's one of those issues that in the way we are today, it depends on who says it and how they say it, because getting that message into the mainstream media is extremely difficult. It's an uphill battle, and they don't want to talk about that. It's being framed as a civil rights issue, and I think that's why Jim's advice is good advice, which is if we're framing on the positive and on the virtues of traditional marriage, we might be better off. We have to take a quick break. Edith, thanks for your phone call. You bring up some very interesting points and things that we don't get to talk about enough. The number here is 312-255-8408. It is 9:33 a.m. here in Chicago. So don't go away. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about what's going on with the state of marriage, traditional marriage, civil unions, and same-sex marriage. We'll be right back.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to our show, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference. We're talking a lot about marriage and about legislation that's pending in Springfield. It's House Bill 2234, and it's regarding civil unions. And we are fortunate enough to be joined by Tom Chapman, my colleague out at the Iowa Catholic Conference, who has experienced this issue through the court intervention primarily, which was just came about, I think it was like April 3rd, Tom indicated, and also by Jim Campbell, the Alliance Defense Fund, who's got a national perspective on what's going on with the state of marriage and civil unions throughout the country. Tom, I know you only got about 15 minutes or so, a couple minutes, but maybe you're not the guy to ask, but you had this thrust upon you by the courts, and now you probably have a huge obligation in terms of catch-up, which is difficult
right.
Because now you have to amend your constitution, as you indicated. As our neighbor out west to us, is there any advice you would give to people in Illinois who are concerned about this issue?
Well, yeah, I think it's really important for people to contact their legislator, get together in local groups around the issue and really make their feelings known, because that was one thing that happened on a smaller scale here in Iowa. But, you know, part of the deal with this is so difficult is because it just comes from on high, from the Supreme Court.
Right.
There's not a lot you can do about it. You know, I mean, it's 10 years ago when Governor Branstad, or 15 years ago, appointed Mark Kay to the Supreme Court. No one was thinking about this, you know, and so you can't really, it's hard to defend against that. And the court itself in its decision basically said, well, we get to define equal protection however we want.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, you know, it's difficult. But if you've got a legislative fight, it's important to weigh in big time so it's at least crystal clear to the legislature and the courts where the people are, whether they'll follow that or not.
And I think it's interesting, it hasn't come up yet on this show, but in those states where there's been an opportunity to vote on the question of marriage being defined as the union between one man and one woman, we're almost batting 1,000. So in the states where it's been put up to a vote, it seems to be widely supported. But the problem we're having is in the judicial branch, in the courts, and that's probably nothing new to many of our listeners. The number is 312-255-8408, and we have another caller on the line, Helen. Helen, welcome to our program.
Thank you. I want to make a comment regarding, you said got to talk about what's positive about, you know, traditional marriage.
Sure.
But I think it's important to say what is wrong with homosexuality,
mm-hmm.
not the feelings but the actions, because I lived in California in the late 60s and the early 70s, and the San Francisco Health Department was putting out guidelines about what a homosexual can do or not do, because it was dangerous behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I think whenever the media puts out homosexuality, oh, it's a happy couple and they're able to adopt, or a couple kissing and they look so happy, it's about love. Let's talk about what homosexuality really is and what that previous lady said. It's the when a culture is glorifying homosexuality, it's sort of the beginning of the end of the civilization. Let's talk about what's wrong with it.
Good point. The problem I think that we're getting into here is, and I think it's happening rapidly, and I'd say in the last, gosh, it seems just like five, 10 years. Look at the way that like homosexual couples are portrayed in the mainstream media in movies, and you know, it seems to me, and maybe I'm not getting it, but it seems to me that they're always the ones that have the answer, or they have the ones that solve the problem, or they're the ones that are portrayed as the cool ones. And heterosexuals in those sort of shows and programs seem to be the ones that are not so. And I think there's a bit of an agenda here by Hollywood, and they permeate the culture, and it's a difficult message for us to get out. Jim, Tom, any reaction to Helen's comments? Jim, I could start with you.
I guess the only thing that I would mention is I think that it is important for individual Catholics in dialoguing with friends and neighbors. I think that is an important message to get across.
Right.
I think it's different when you move into the political arena and you're
right.
making arguments in that arena. I think that they are more difficult. And again, as we mentioned before, the positive message seems to be the most effective. However, I think that Helen is absolutely right in that in our own individual lives, in our own sphere that we affect on a daily basis, I think that those are important messages, because you're right, they're not coming out in the mainstream media, and there might be people that are just ignorant about the realities of homosexual behavior.
Yep. Tom?
Yeah, I would agree, and I think the argument that might be made as a public health argument, which is a different one, a difficult one coming from the bishops, but I think there is a reality there that people do need to recognize. You know, we're supposed to stand for the truth and all that means. But when you get into the political arena and trying to convince legislators about this, I mean, a lot of times, I hate to say this, but the facts don't matter, you know?
Right, yeah.
You need to have the right story to tell, and you can have all the data you want, and they blow right by it to, you know, what do my constituents think, or what does my leadership think? And so it's a difficult argument to make.
Edith and Helen both bring up very interesting points, and I think you guys hit the nail right on the head. And the difference – the three of us are all involved in the public square, and we're making arguments publicly, and we have to be very careful about how they're perceived and how they're not perceived, because we're trying to persuade a legislative body to take a position in support of where we're coming from. So we're all very sensitive to those arguments. But I think what Edith and Helen are bringing up is important for listeners, and that is – and Jim, I think you talked about this, is on an individual basis, you guys are right. I mean, that's the private conversations that need to happen. I think what the reaction you're getting from the three of us is we're so focused on the public square and we're so highly sensitive to these things. But the one-on-one conversations are oh so important, because that's what influences culture in the long term. Good point. Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Tom, I think you have to take off here. If my memory serves me correct, I think you have to go over probably to the Capitol over in Des Moines and spread some joy.
I'm doing my media tour today, so I've got one more interview in just a little bit before I get down to the Capitol.
Wow,
but,
man. Geez, you got a good publicist over there.
Yeah, that's right. Just what I needed.
Okay, so we're going to let Tom go, but don't you go. We're going to take a quick break, and thanks to Tom for joining us this morning. And Tom, we'll see each other hopefully in July.
I hope so. I plan on it.
Absolutely. We do as well. We get together every summer or so. So, Tom, we'll let you go. Jim, don't you go anywhere, and don't any of you listeners go anywhere. It is 9:43 a.m. in Chicago, and please feel free to give us a call at 312-255-8408. We're talking about same-sex marriage and civil unions and what to do about it. Help us join the fight to defeat this legislation in Springfield. That bill number we're asking you to get involved with is House Bill 2234, and we're asking you to express your opposition to it. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
You are cordially invited to attend the U.S. charity premiere of Testimony, a feature film on the life and legacy of Pope John Paul II. The film is narrated by internationally acclaimed actor Michael York.
Testimony, the untold story of Pope John Paul II, is a loving tribute to one of the most influential leaders of the 20th century, a man who came from humble beginnings to preach a message of peace, love, faith, and perseverance, and who was an inspiration to countless people around the world.
Michael York will attend the special screening of Testimony. It's scheduled for Friday evening, May 8th, at the Copernicus Community and Civic Center on Chicago's Northwest Side. Proceeds benefit the humanitarian works of the Order of Malta in the Archdiocese of Chicago and in Cuba. For more information and to order tickets, visit www.artschicago.org and click on Testimony.
Welcome back to our show. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. We're joined by Jim Campbell of the Alliance Defense Fund talking about House Bill 2234, what's going on in Springfield at the state capitol, and urging you to get more involved in expressing your opposition to that bill, which calls for civil unions in the state of Illinois. Our testimony is on our website at www.catholicconferenceofillinois. And if you want to find out who your state legislator is, call 312-368-1066, or you can go to the above website and find out who your state legislator is as well. Jim, in the last 15 minutes of our program here today, you're following this kind of on a national level. Where is this going? I think we're kind of at a crossroads, my personal opinion. You know, 30 states have enacted constitutional prohibitions against same-sex marriage, if you will, but 20 have not. And it looks like recently, you know, two or three more have now. And is that the floodgates? Are the floodgates starting to open, or where do we go from here? And what can we do about it?
Well, I think at this point, while there is a tendency to be discouraged with the recent losses, I think Christians around the country should be encouraged that most Americans do believe that marriage is the union of one man and one woman. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that whenever marriage has gone to the polls, Americans have upheld marriage as the union of one man and one woman, as you mentioned before. The issue has been put to the people in 30 states, and in each of those 30 states, including states like California, which has the reputation of a more liberal state, in all of these states, the people have affirmed marriage. So I think that Christians around the country should be encouraged and should realize that they are not, which the media often tries to portray those that believe in marriage as outcasts, as the minority, as bigots. And I think we need to be encouraged that we are not in the minority. This is something that is supported by the majority of people. And I think another important point is Christians need to understand what marriage is. And I think this is oftentimes where we lose this battle in the public arena and in the public opinion. Marriage is the union of a man and a woman. Why? Because the purpose of marriage is procreation and family. Marriage isn't the government's endorsing of any loving relationship. You know, there are lots of loving relationships that the government doesn't endorse. The government doesn't endorse my relationship with my best friend. Why? Well, because my relationship with my best friend doesn't naturally result in the procreation of the next generation. Mm-hmm. I believe that this is important for Christians to understand, and it's important for, as we were talking about earlier, in these conversations we have with our neighbors and with our friends, to really get across the message as to what marriage is and why there is a fundamental difference between a same-sex and an opposite-sex couple when we're talking about the institution of marriage.
312-255-8408 if you want to join the final 10 minutes of our conversation here with Jim Campbell of the Alliance Defense Fund talking about civil unions and same-sex marriage. Jim, it's interesting to me as I look at the breakdown on how different groups feel about this issue. Looking at the glass half full, I see that the percentage of African Americans and the percentage of Hispanics, Mexican Americans primarily, that support the quote unquote traditional definition of marriage is fairly high. If I want to depress myself, I look at the polling data on young people and their attitude about marriage, and they don't seem to find anything wrong with same-sex marriage. Should I be encouraged or discouraged, or is it state by state?
Well, I think you should be encouraged, and I think you should be encouraged because when you look, as you mentioned, the statistics from various racial groups, mm-hmm. this marriage is a unifying issue. It is an issue that crosses racial lines. It is an issue that crosses political lines. It is an issue that the majority of Americans on the whole agree with on, mm-hmm. and that is the union of one man and one woman. I believe with the younger generation, again, not to sound like a, mm-hmm. you know, a beating drum, but I think that it is important for Christians around the country to engage the youth of our country and to really communicate the truth of what marriage is, and I believe that by exposing some of the deception in the media regarding marriage and regarding homosexual behavior, I think that we can begin to change the opinion of young people in this country regarding the institution of marriage.
I hope you're right, because it is frustrating in that, and like I said earlier, I have to say that the more I've been studying this and been involved with this issue, it is discouraging to me, though, that some of the facts of this matter are disturbing, which is as a heterosexual community, we've not done a real good job of making marriage what it should be. The numbers of children born out of wedlock is way too high. Divorce is too prevalent. It just seems to be endless. And I sometimes wonder how that message is being received by the mainstream person out there.
I think you've touched on a reality, and that
yep.
is that the church and society as a whole over the last 40 years, really ever since no-fault divorce has
yep.
come into place, we have done a disservice to the institution of marriage. But having said that, we must now stop the mm-hmm. Degradation of this institution, and we must stand up. And at this point, the battle for the institution revolves around same-sex marriage. And
it
we
does.
Need to
yeah.
recognize our mistakes from the past, and we need to stand at this point and proclaim that marriage is the union of one man and one woman, and we each need to do our best to make sure that we uphold the integrity of that institution.
We have to take one final message here before we sign off. It is 9:52 a.m. here in Chicago, and if you want to join our final moments with Jim Campbell of the Alliance Defense Fund, please feel free to do so. 312-255-8408. We'll be right back.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Now you can receive reflections via email directly from Cardinal George. We'll tell you how to sign up for the Cardinals Network. And we'll take you to the spectacular fundraising dinner for Holy Name Cathedral, where money was raised for repairs and tribute was paid to the heroic first responders. We'll talk to Cardinal George about these stories and more in this latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your archdiocese.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page.
your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, enjoy our Finding Grace series, The Seven Deadly Sins and Their Heavenly Virtues.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois talking to Jim Campbell of the Alliance Defense Fund. We have about 3 minutes or so left in our program, and we have one more caller. I believe it's Frank from Chicago. Frank, welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Frank, how are you?
Very good.
Welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be on. Listen, I just wanted to make a comment. I went to the Tea Party last week, and I know it was a big hit throughout the country. They had over 800 of them. And I was thinking, why couldn't we have a sort of a family value type Tea Party also to kind of let the country more or less say, this is what traditional values are as far as pro-family, pro-marriage. But basically, I think the country is standing on that side of the street.
Interesting. Yeah. And instead of tea, we could have coffee.
Whatever.
Jim? Yeah, I don't know. I'm drinking Starbucks here. I shouldn't say it. Yeah. So, maybe that's the way to do it. Yeah. Good point. You know, I think Frank's comment is a good one in terms of what things can we do out there in a public manner that portray the positive aspects and virtues of marriage that, you know, that we're not doing right now. Jim?
Well, I think the first and most obvious thing we could do is contact our legislators and push for pro-marriage bills and acts and those kind of legislation. I think that's the first and foremost, but I think that that's not enough. I think that for those Christians around the country that are passionate about this issue, and if you're not passionate about this issue, pray about this issue and become passionate about it. And I believe that we need to do events like we're just mentioned. We need to come together and have rallies. And I think that would show that we are not some outcast minority around the country, that this truly is the majority view, and that we understand what marriage is and that we seek to preserve the institution for what it's always been.
You know, it's a good point, and Frank brings up an interesting tactic. I guess one of the things as I'm sitting here listening to you, Jim, and contemplating on what Frank was saying is we're all for that, and maybe we need a lay secular slash faith organization to pick the ball up and run with that. I guess the only concern that I have is I've heard some stories, and I don't have any firsthand knowledge. You may, in terms of some of the backlash that members of the Mormon faith experienced when it was found out that they donated to the Prop 8 campaign, and I would hate to see that discourage people from being involved. But you know, I think it, in some ways it shows how it's early in the morning. I can't think of the word, but how. Virulent, is that the word? That some of the opposition can be and mean-spirited.
I think that you have hit on something, and that is maybe fear is really what it strikes in us in the Christian community. And I think that, you know, we need to remember who we are and that we are servants of the Most High God. And I believe that if we keep that in perspective, we realize that we can stand up for the truth on this political issue. So I think that is a reality, and I think that is something that plays into people's thoughts about this issue around the country. I think that is the fear that the other side has instilled based on some of their hostile tactics. But I think that we need to understand that we have a First Amendment for a reason. It protects our political speech, and we together need to stand for the truth of this issue and need to stand for the institution of marriage.
Like Pope John Paul II said, be not afraid. And it's one of those things that we have a moral obligation to do and to become more engaged in the public square. House Bill 2234 is the piece of legislation. We're asking people to get more engaged and advocate against it. You can find out information on our website and calling us. Before we sign off, I would like to say thank you, Jim, for a very, very engaging conversation. I hope people have enjoyed the conversation and now take that and do something with it. This is Bob Gilligan of the Catholic Conference of Illinois. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next month.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.